I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and it is Tuesday, June the 1st. We have made it to the most glorious month in the entire year, June. So there's nothing going on from a football perspective. It's my birthday. Oh, my goodness. I'm 26 days away from turning 40. Delightful. No better way I could think to celebrate than by talking about MVP futures and week one odds with RJ White coming up in the podcast. We might bring Preet Prisco on. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll bring Sam Monson from PFF on to talk about PFF's top 100. Because Sam would do it in a heartbeat. He'd love to do it. You know, a friend of mine would pop on the show. Not a problem. But you can't drag Pete on here. Lord knows the great Preet Prisco does too much around the office. Can't have him do a 45-minute podcast. Also in the feed from yesterday, Memorial Day, a mailbag with John Breach and Ryan Wilson. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like the video and comment. Feel free to subscribe as well. And while I'm telling you about things that you need to do, you've probably seen it all over social media this week as Floyd Money Mayweather will be fighting viral star Logan Paul this Sunday on Showtime. There's only one place to get your coverage for this carnival boxing match. Brian Campbell and Luke Thomas will be on site in Miami, Florida all week to provide you with everything you need leading up to the fight. Follow Mortal Kombat, our fighting podcast, our battle combat podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts to get all the preview content you need for this crazy event. All right, to break
Brinson,
down.
Real quick, I just want to point, you know, Mortal Kombat is great, but Morning Combat, even better.
Did I say Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I know where your head is at. A nice little play on, you know, Mortal Kombat there. But Morning Combat is the podcast. You can also play Mortal Kombat, I'm sure.
Might be. I listen to a lot of CBS podcasts. I really do. I'm not a big fighting wrestling guy until about Saturday at 5 o'clock or Sunday at 5 o'clock when the thing's about to start. And I'm like, who's got the picks for me? And when I need those picks, you know where I actually go a lot of the times? Sportsline.com. And you can go to sportsline.com and join for probably for a dollar or sign up for free, however you want to do it, and use promo code White. And you'll get the hookup from our buddy RJ White, who's joining us now to look at week one lines and MVP futures. RJ, what's up?
Get over here.
No, yeah. I was gonna give you crap about that, but Debo beat me to it. So he was ready for the finisher.
I was on Humble Brag, Jim Rome's radio program last Thursday. You may have seen me at my face over Jeff Gertula's shoulder while he was doing the all hands. I was doing the radio hit, probably on company time. But I think I was trying to say Devontae Parker because after he got away from Adam Gase, and I called him Devontae Adams. So my brain is just sort of right now. That's where we're at. But what are you going to do? Keep on grinding on. MVP odds. Our friends at William Hill have them listed. They are constantly in flux depending on the news. Although Aaron Rodgers is still a 7-1 second highest favorite, despite the fact that we don't know if he's going to play this year. Patrick Mahomes, 5.5-1. Josh Allen, 13-1. Those are the top three favorites. And we're going to look at some of our favorite picks for right now. Let's start, RJ, in the top pick section. In other words, you know, it's like when you bet on golf, which I talk about probably too much, but you know, you're not going to take all long shots. You're going to want to sprinkle some favorites, you know, and you vary your unit size depending on what the odds are, but certainly you don't want to avoid the favorite list completely. If there's some good numbers there, who do you like in the favorite section? Let's say 20-1 or better.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is the favorite, and he deserves to be. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, downplay anybody at him, but I just don't see a lot of value in his odds now. Lamar Jackson was 13-1. He's now 16-1. I think that's you know, too high. I think that you put him behind Josh Allen. I mean, Lamar Jackson's already proven that he could do it. He has an MVP. Baltimore's probably the team most affected by COVID last year, including Jackson missing a game. He didn't look right as a passer after his return, even though they were winning games. I expect the Ravens to put more on his plate in the passing game. They brought in Rashad Bateman. They brought in Sammy Watkins. I think they need to diversify the offense a little bit, and they knew that, and so they went after some pass catchers. And I think that could catch some teams by surprise early, you know, if they make drastic changes to the offense. We've seen it before where they change things up, and you know, they're very smart in what they do. And that could help build up his stats and get him under. So we know he's one of the few guys in the running who has won the MVP. You know, he has that already on his resume. Clearly that ceiling is there. Clearly voters will you know, think about voting for him when it comes to that time, because they've done it before, and it makes him a good value behind Josh Allen. Like I said, he's tied with Matthew Stafford. I think Jackson should be at least tied with Allen, maybe even ahead of him, and definitely ahead of Stafford.
Yeah, it is surprising that he's that low. I think, but not surprising that he's that low. I mean, I guess people, you know, we expected after his MVP season in 2019, this big leap forward in his passing stats last year that didn't necessarily come. The Ravens were, you know, lethargic at points on offense and didn't exactly, you know, they didn't win the division, right? They had to sneak into the playoffs. So I think that may be where it comes from, but that gives him value. I mean, you're buying low on a guy who's won the MVP before and can put up stats that I think this is fair to say literally no one else in football can.
That's fair. Right. And I think they'll be, you know, I think they're one of the probably two or best three teams in the league. I think I put them ahead of Buffalo in my power ratings right now, in the AFC. So I think there is value with him, because I think they could get to 13, 14 wins. And when, if you're battling for the number one seed there, that's one of the things that you do, is you look to the players on those teams to be MVP, the quarterback specifically.
And there's also, you know, we talk about voter fatigue on here a lot and how people don't want to keep voting for the same guy. For instance, you don't want to vote LeBron James MVP of the NBA every single year. But there's also a sort of a reverse thing in that Lamar Jackson has won the MVP, which makes it not far-fetched that you could vote for him to be the MVP if he has the best season. If that's a tiebreaker, it's not like, oh, he's already won one. It's like, okay, he is, you know, he is an MVP caliber player and he has these massive stats. The Ravens were the one seed in the AFC, et cetera, et cetera. So certainly I think that could help him out in terms of the voting. A guy that I had on my list, and I believe you have on your list as well, I like Lamar at 16, but if we move down to the 18-1 range, and you can see us posting these on YouTube, not Russell Wilson for me, no, Dak Prescott, and frankly, I also like Matthew Stafford, but 16-1 feels short. The only thing that I'm worried about Dak with is he might just win comeback player of the year and they feel like that's his nod. And the Cowboys defense isn't good enough to get them to 10, 11, 12 wins. And therefore Dak, maybe not a great value, but I think at 18-1, it should probably be more like 13-1 or 14-1.
He was on a roll before his injury. He had three straight games with 450 plus passing yards and 3+ total touchdowns in each of them. Weapons are just as good this year as they were last year. That defense, you know, you said they might cost them, you know, wins, but they should make Dallas have to pass a ton and you know, go through a fireworks type of explosion and win games sometimes. So if Dak plays a full season, you figure the Cowboys will go from 6-10 to double-digit wins, I think, at least get to 10 wins. Being their division favorite, so they're going to be in the running for that division. It's a weaker division. And so if they win the division, they're a 2 or 3 seed. I think that matters to voters, you know, with Dak. His 2019 season, 4,900 passing yards, 30 pass touchdowns, 11 interceptions. That puts him in the MVP conversation already. Once you, you know, extrapolate that out to a 17-game season, he's over 5,000 yards. Not that many quarterbacks have done that historically. We're probably going to see a few more, but he's one of those guys that could definitely get there because he's shown that ability through a full season already. So, you know, you put him with those weapons, the offensive line will be better if it stays healthy this year. And yeah, I don't love the defense, but I don't think it's going to stop them from winning 11 or 12 games. So I like Dak at 18-1 too.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I had Dak on my list as well. The other guy that I had on my list from here, 20-1, Justin Herbert, won the rookie of the year last year, is on a Charger team that should be improved offensively and into game situations just because of coaching. They beefed up the offensive line. And if the Chargers were, and the defense should be healthier, Derwin James can be back. We hope you get a full 16 games of 17 games of Joey Bosa, excuse me. They look complete to me on paper and they have great weapons outside. There's a possibility to get Julio Jones, but if Herbert were, if they were to topple Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and win that division and secure a 1-2 or 1 or 2 seed in the AFC, and Herbert plays anywhere like he played last year and doesn't have a just a huge, you know, come back to earth situation, I think he will absolutely get consideration for this award.
Yeah, it's tough for me because they're in that division with the Chiefs. So it's just, you don't expect him to win the division, and he's going to get it as a wild card. I don't think so. So that plays against him there. It's a new coaching staff. You know, we've seen new coaches kind of struggle. He has to play in a new offense. He's going to be familiar with the players, and he's a talented guy. So maybe he can overcome that. But I think he probably starts out a little bit slow, having to adjust to things like that. Even though I do, you know, we'll talk about that when we get to our week one picks. I don't know if he makes up the ground with guys like Mahomes and Jackson, if he starts slow.
Yeah. He's at a disadvantage because of the division he's in. And that's true for Drew Lock / Aaron Rodgers / Derek Carr / Justin Herbert. I mean, you're probably playing for second place in that division, but there is the bonus narrative, which we mentioned last year with Josh Allen too, coming to the season where Allen, you know, didn't win, but he was right there. If the Bills take down the Patriots, he's going to get a lot of love for, you know, bucking a trend that we've seen the last 20 years. So I think that should come into consideration. You would love to see Herbert 25-1 or 30-1. Just while we're in the range here that we see these guys on here, I'd love to ask you about both Deshaun Watson and Matt Ryan. Ryan's come crashing down from 50-1 to 30-1. I got him at 50, I think, but I sort of wish I could sell it because if Julio Jones is traded, I don't feel very good about Matt Ryan winning MVP. And then Deshaun Watson at 25-1. Is there any value in that, RJ, or is it just priced appropriately for the unknown of his situation?
I don't think you can touch him at 25-1, even if he does play. And let's say he plays 17 games. That team is bad around him, and I don't think they're going to compete to win a lot of games. So, I expect him to be under 500, even if he is playing. And you're not going to give the quarterback the MVP there. It's just not enough talent on both sides of the ball. So I think he should be a lot – I think this is taking his talent into account more than it should. I think team context isn't being taken into account. I think he should be a lot – you know, further down this list. It's the same thing. The reason that Matt Stafford's bumped up to where he is the team context, but it seems like that's not in play here for Deshaun Watson. So I would avoid him. And then Matt Ryan, I mean, that defense is going to be worse than Dallas. You were talking about the drawbacks of Dak. I mean, that defense is bad. They play in another tough division. I don't think that they're good enough to take down even New Orleans with their quarterback situation in flux, much less Tampa Bay. So, you know, I don't like Atlanta. They're a new coach in that situation too. Like I wouldn't play either of those guys at that price.
Yeah, I would like Tannehill, Ryan. The problem is this market has become they've become increasingly wary of longer shots. And this happens throughout the summer where the numbers shrink because it's happened, I guess, it didn't happen last year. But Aaron Rodgers is a little bit of a longer number. But Josh Allen was a guy who was 45-1. Right after the draft, and then that number got hammered. It shrunk down, and books are scared of that. They got lit up by Lamar Jackson the year before that and lit up by Patrick Mahomes the year before that. Is that right? Mm-hmm. 18, 8, or Mahomes won in 17.
Mahomes won the year before Jackson.
Yeah. So if Lamar won in 19, yeah, and Mahomes, and you nailed Lamar, you nailed Patrick Mahomes as an MVP candidate before the season, and it was like 60-1 or something like that. And so I think the books have become – increasingly wary of these longer shot quarterbacks. And we should point out too, when we're doing this list, you'll notice that RJ and I are not including running backs or wide receivers. Do not bet on a running back or a wide receiver to win MVP. What you need to look for is a quarterback on a team that can win double digit games and whether or not he can be value, which leads us to the 35-1, 30-1. Let's scroll up a little bit, Debo. Because Baker Mayfield is on there at 35-1. And yes, that's right. I am going to be backing Baker Mayfield to win MVP. If you look at the Browns are like 16-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think it's more likely that Baker Mayfield has a monster season. They win 13 games and he wins MVP than it is that the Browns win the Super Bowl. The only drawback here for me, RJ, is that if you look at Baker Mayfield's stats last year from a volume perspective and Kirk Cousins' stats the only year in which, you know, the same you're dealing with the same coach, not good. Like, they don't have, it's not a ton of volume. This is going to be a running attack for the Cleveland Browns with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And so that would be my only real concern about Baker. I think he takes another step forward in this offense under Kevin Stefanski. And if he does, and the Browns are the best team in that division and win that division or a top seed in the AFC, then he's going to get consideration there. But the volume is a bit of a concern for me.
Yeah, I just don't think the number is going to be there in that offense. That's my main drawback with him. They can have success, but you see that they want to do it with defense and running the ball. And so I think that's going to be the play for them. We do like playing only quarterbacks. Only quarterbacks make sense. Now, if there is a season where it's going to be a random running back or receiver, I think it could be this one in this year where we're extending the season of one more game to 17 games, because that increases the probability of somebody putting up, you know, a record number on the running back or receiver side as well. So if, right, say Derrick Henry runs for 2,100 yards, which, you know, adding an extra 150 yard game on his tally, whatever else he does, people are going to be like, oh my God, 2,100 yards. You know, we got to start thinking about him for MVP if the Titans win that division. So the fact that we're getting into the 17 game season, we don't really know what we're going to see from some of these guys. I do think that opens it up a little bit, but not enough to play any number. It's still going to be a long shot for any non-quarterback, really.
Like, don't play 30-1 Derrick Henry or 40-1 Christian McCaffrey, in other words.
Right. But maybe Nick Chubb. I mean, if Cleveland is having that good season with running, rushing, and defense, Chubb puts up 2,000 yards and they're the number two seed and Baker's numbers aren't there, who knows? Maybe Chubb is the guy.
If Chubb's 100-1 at William Hill. Kareem Hunt gets hurt. Baker has a good season, but he's dumping off to Chubb. Kamara, maybe with no Drew Brees, if he has a special season at 100-1. Travis Kelce can't win, though. The problem is you've got to have a skill position guy who wins despite his. You know, you can't have Kelce with Mahomes, because if Kelce puts up big enough stats to be considered the MVP, Tyreek Hill is going to have big stats too, and it's just going to be Mahomes who gets it. Cam Akers at 100-1 is at least intriguing, I guess.
Probably. You know, it's like I said, the context comes into, does he set records? Does he have 25 touchdowns at the tight end position, or, you know, getting close to 2,000 yards? Once you start getting into record territory, then you start thinking about those guys as independent from the quarterbacks. So that would have to happen, but, you know, a lot has to line up for that to happen.
Yeah. The only guys I see below 100-1 are, again, Derrick Henry 30, Christian McCaffrey 40, Dalvin Cook 60, TJ Watt 80. What are we doing here? Aaron Donald 80, Davante Adams 80, and Michael Thomas at 80. I would probably avoid anybody who is under 100-1. Who else do you like in that? Do you like anybody else in that 30 to 50 range, RJ? The mid-tier guys, so to speak?
Yeah, the clear Mahomes / Lamar candidate for me this year is Joe Burrow at 50-1. You know, we look at those second year quarterbacks making the leap, like Mahomes and Jackson. Burrow was the number one pick for a reason. Now he's got Jamar Chase in the fold. Now he has a full offseason of prep. Love his potential to put up big numbers if he stays healthy. That defense isn't going to be great. So if the offensive line can block even a little bit, you know, I think he's going to have a big season. The thing that hurts him also is his division, playing six games against some very good defenses. But the potential is there, and we're talking about 50-1 here as opposed to 20-1 with Herbert. So if Herbert was, you know, a little bit lower and down close in that 30-35-1 range, I would like him more and back up what you were saying there. But Burrow, I think, kind of has that same argument. All he has to do is stay healthy. You know, you can't ever, you know, just assume a player is going to stay healthy. But when we're talking about these longer shots, you know, you just assume health, and then you really like how it sets up for him. So I would play him at 50-1.
The obvious concern with the Bengals and Burrow is winning games. Okay, I mean, they pretty easily could be the worst team in that division. I can't see a guy whose team is fourth place in the division winning MVP.
Right, so, but if he takes the big step forward, maybe he leads them to 10 wins and they're the second best team in the division. Maybe Pittsburgh with Big Ben falls off. Maybe Cleveland just doesn't click for them, you know, offensively. Who knows? So and, I think and, by if, the way, if they're Cleveland, competing.
No, I was just saying Cleveland just really quickly started, but I didn't realize this. They went 11-5 last year. Their expected win total by point differential was 7.7 wins. I did not realize it was that much of a, they could certainly take a drop back. So yeah, I mean, that's the case is Burrow, since he makes such a leap that it's almost, you have to give it to Burrow.
Right. And yeah, other things have to happen to line up for Cincy to win the division and be a contender, you know, at the top of the AFC. But, you know, we've seen that happen to other teams in the past. You know, Baltimore comes up with Lamar and in Kansas City it worked with. Now I wouldn't put, the Cincy's offensive coaching staff on the level of those guys, but who knows, maybe they have some untapped potential there. And now that these weapons are all around Burrow, he has a big season.
Jalen Hurts is a guy that Debo's got his eye on. Carson Wentz also 40-1. Hurts at 60-1 has actually been moved down. I didn't actually have anybody else in that 30-50 range. Did you have a second or player, or is your next guy's in the 60 range?
Yeah, my next guy was Jalen Hurts. I mean, the Eagles were obliterated by injuries in the preseason and early in the year. If they have better health, you know, surrounding Hurts, they could return to being a playoff contender. It's a division that's wide open, winnable. We talked about Dallas, you know, being able to win that, but I think the Eagles have a shot as well. So if the O-line is healthy, Hurts should benefit from having more time to throw, possibly be able to make more plays in the running game. He averaged close to 80 rushing yards in three full games running the offense. So if he's putting up 1,000 rushing yards and a handful of touchdowns on the ground, that puts less pressure on him to have those elite passing stats, that 5,000-yard season that other guys might have to carry his candidacy. So one of his key positives coming into the league was his leadership quality. And I think going through the whole offseason as QB1, you know, preparing as the starter should be big for his development there. And, you know, he gets an offensive coach now, you know, as the head coach there. So I like the things that could open up for him and make him in this conversation. 60-1 seems like a pretty good value to me. I don't think he's going to win, but I think, you know, as a second-year quarterback, he could make the leap and be in that conversation.
The guy I'll take is a second-year quarterback who is also 60-1, and right there on the screen, Tua Tagovailoa. Everyone's out on Tua, and I get it. He didn't look fantastic. He flashed in one or two games against Arizona. He really showed some of what he had from his time at Alabama. And the logic here for me is that you're buying low on a player in a fantastic situation with a ton of upside, who was drafted early, who no longer has the Ryan Fitzpatrick factor there. You do worry a little bit about Brian Flores yanking him for Jacoby Brissett, I suppose, but they have a good defense, maybe a great defense, and they have a good, smart coaching staff, and they added weapons. They get Jalen Waddle, who's a fantastic, you know, short. You can put him in short yardage. You can let him throw deep, and Tua's deep ball should get better, I think, as his as physically he gets further away from that hip injury. Waddle, you can throw to him short and let him take it with a ton of yak. Mike Gesicki is there. Devontae Parker can sort of morph into maybe more of a number two if Waddle steps up into that role. They're nice and complimentary. And the running game, not great, but it could feature lots of dump-offs to Myles Gaskin. So I don't know that Tua will have the numbers to do it, but if the Dolphins win 10, 11, 12 games, take that division, which is entirely in the conversation, and Tua takes a big leap forward, you could absolutely see him in that conversation, I think.
I think Miami has a pretty good defense, though, and I don't know that they're going to have to win some shootouts because, you know, with that secondary, I think they'll be able to keep things in line, and statistically, he won't have to open things up too much. But, you know, the potential is there. He was a high draft pick. You could see some regression from the Bills, and Miami kind of is the surprise team to win the division. You know, people would think that if it's anybody, it's going to be New England, if not Buffalo. So if Miami comes out of nowhere and is in that 13-14 win range, Tua should be in the conversation. I didn't want to go all of these, you know, second-year guys here, but I almost included him too, but yeah, 60-1 is pretty decent value.
Yeah, I mean, Hurts, Tua, and, you know, again, Herbert short, but, you know, you go Hurts, Tua, and Burrow, and bear in mind that in the thought process for these voters, you know, Herbert's way ahead of everybody else. Like he's got a lead on everybody else because he played better last year. So if these guys leapfrog him, all of a sudden it you know, their odds would drop pretty dramatically. I'm at least intrigued a little bit in two other guys in the 60-1 range. Jameis Winston at 60-1. I don't think he wins it, and I don't think he cuts down on his interceptions, but Sean Payton's done really good things with a lot of quarterbacks. Maybe Jameis does enough to help the Saints. You know, maybe they win the division. If they win the division with Jameis playing 80%+ of the snaps and freaking Taysom Hill being an afterthought, then 61's pretty good value. Now, on the other hand, RJ, maybe you think that Taysom Hill is good value.
Yeah, the thing about Jameis is even if he is the starter, he is going to have a ceiling of like 80% of the snap. You know, they are going to mix Taysom Hill, and if they did it with Drew Brees, they're not going to hold off not doing it with Jameis Winston, obviously. Right. So Hill's going to be a part of that offense. Now, if he's the starter, you know, at 150-1, I mean, if Sean Payton really thinks it makes him the starter, and he thinks that he can build an offense around his strengths, why can't he have success? You know, believe in Sean Payton because he's a pretty good offensive mind. People seem to love him, you know, as an offensive guru. We don't think he holds a skill enough passer to be successful long term, but he did complete at least 72% of his passes in the three competitive starts that he made. I don't count that Denver game where New Orleans didn't have to do anything on offense to win that game because Broncos didn't have a quarterback. So If Hill's racking up yards and touchdowns on the ground and he's throwing, completing 70% of his passes, I mean, there's going to be an argument for him if he's the starter and Jameis isn't playing. So, you know, I like with the Mahomes pick 2 years ago, you have an uncertain quarterback taking over with a great support system in place in terms of coach and surrounding talent. Hill isn't anywhere near the level of talent that Mahomes is, but, you know, I give him a better than 1% chance of being really good and competing for this award, which is what he needs for 150 to 1 to be a good value play. So the only other quarterback at 150 to 1 at William Hill is Teddy Bridgewater. So clearly I think there's value with Taysom. Taysom, if he wins the job, you know, he shouldn't be in that range with all these non-quarterbacks plus Teddy Bridgewater. So play him up to like 75 to 1, 60 to 1. I think that's fine. You're still getting decent value on him there, especially if it comes out that he's trending toward being the starter.
Yeah, if he's the start, if he's the week one starter and he's going to play 80 plus percent of the snap or 100% of the snaps and Jameis is just benched, that's, you're right, 150 to 1 is a nice play. The one problem, and look, this is just the reality when you get into these guys with the longer numbers, I always think about, so Pete Prisco is an MVP voter. Could Pete Prisco bring himself to vote Taysom Hill MVP?
Pete, no. But I think most other people could.
Most other reasonable human beings. Kirk Cousins at 60 to 1 was somebody that I thought was at least intriguing as well, because maybe Aaron Rodgers gets traded. The Lions stink. The Bears, you know, Justin Fields isn't ready, and Andy Dalton's not that good. And Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, their defense has improved. He still has to throw a lot. Justin Jefferson has another big season. Adam Thielen, too. And Cousins has, I don't know, 4,500 passing yards and 30 passing touchdowns, and the Vikings win 12 games. 60 to 1, you could do worse. But again, as I mentioned, you're not going to find a bunch of people who want to vote for him. The same goes for the two guys that I'll throw out at 100 plus to 1 that I saw. One, Sam Darnold at 100 to 1. I don't think Sam Darnold's winning the MVP. I think it's pretty unlikely. I think it's more likely that Sam Darnold wins MVP than it is that DeAndre Hopkins, Zeke Elliott, or, you know, Nick Chubb win it. I mean, if Darnold goes to Carolina and they're good, he, you know, and they win 9-10 games, which is not out of the question, and they're in the hunt for the division and the Buccaneers aren't, you know, blowing everybody away and the Saints struggle, then Sam Darnold could be in the mix because he'll be the thing that differentiated Carolina. And then the other guy, I didn't realize what it was, but 125 to 1 for Jimmy Garoppolo. How quickly do we forget 2017? Alex Smith was in this exact same position with a great offensive mind and a young quarterback who'd just been drafted with a high pick that was used, you know, the team traded up to draft this guy, nipping on his heels. And Alex Smith was the MVP at midseason. Why not take a stab at Jimmy Garoppolo and hope that he just lights it up and he keeps his job the whole year while Trey Lance learns behind him, and all of a sudden he has monster numbers in Kyle Shanahan's system? 125 to 1 is basically priced as if he'll be benched by week 5. And if he keeps that job, which is entirely possible, 125 to 1 is a steal.
Yeah, love the value there at 125 to 1. I just don't think that he would be the starter all year. I think they'll get itchy about playing Lance at some point. I don't know about week 5, but you know, unless they're running away with the division, and I don't think they will, but I think it's going to be a competitive division. You know, I think that Garoppolo doesn't last the full season as starter. But, you know, what if he gets traded? What if we know it's still early in the offseason-ish? You know, what if he gets traded and he's the starter in somewhere else? You know, and if he's no unquestioned starter somewhere, he's talented enough that 125 to 1 is a long shot play that's going to have value.
Like maybe he gets traded to Denver, or I don't know if New England would be the spot anymore with Mac Jones there and Cam Newton, but you know, there are certainly places he could get traded to that he could.
Yeah, how about at Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers retires or gets moved somewhere else, and Green Bay turns around, trades for Garoppolo. And, you know, with that offensive, you know, scheme that's already had success, and with Davante Adams as his number one receiver, I mean, he could have a good season there.
I'm seeing 76 to 1 on my local. That's probably too short. I want 100 to 1 or more for James Garoppolo, right? God, Jalen Hurts is 47 to 1. The sawed off odds I'm getting here. This is garbage. Can you imagine betting on Dalvin Cook? Derek, yeah, these are bad. Jameis Winston is 51 to 1. What is happening on here? Out of town. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 95 to 1. No, I don't think so. Just kidding. All right, those are our MVP picks. Yeah, it's early. A lot of offseason to go. Things can happen. Trey Lance could suddenly be a pretty good value if he's the starter in week one. Who knows? But we'll have to wait and see about week one. We'll tell you coming up after the break what are some good bets for week one. Next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. So week one odds are already out because I don't know. Has it always been this early for week one odds? It hadn't been, right?
Typically it is. Typically it comes out a little bit before the draft. Last year was weird because we didn't know what was happening with the season. So right. I think they held it a little bit, you know, to put them out, but typically we see it come out in mid-April and we react to it for the draft. And then once the actual schedule comes out, you know, we go hog wild with all these picks. So, we're used to having it by this point of the offseason.
Yeah, that's true. So let's get into the bets that we like. What's your first bet that you're making for week one of the 2021? If you're making it right now, and you're not, I would assume you're not making these bets right now because the lines will stay. You would only want to make the bet if you're betting on a dog, right? You wouldn't want to bet a favorite and then somebody gets hurt and all of a sudden the line shoots down. Does that seem fair, or you just stay away?
Yeah, it depends where you think there's value. You know, you bet them now. You bet them when they first come out, obviously, because they're going to move. The lines that move the most are the week one lines from when they open, because there's months for people to talk about them and get behind teams, and you can get 4 or 5 points of value if you want to play the other way sometimes. So, I would play them now if you think it's going to move, and especially cross key numbers, which is what I think about this first one, Chiefs -6 against the Browns. Chiefs are clearly still the team to beat. They're the top of the Super Bowl odds. I think this line is too light in general. Chiefs won by 5 last January, but they controlled the game, and they've since upgraded their offensive line considerably. Cleveland's had some success in shootouts last year, but I don't think that's how they want to play. We talked about them wanting to be more control of the ball, and if they have to get in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, I can't see them keeping up. So I expect this to close at least Chiefs -7 and maybe even higher. So getting it at -6 now, Chiefs at home in the home opener, I think is the way to go here.
Okay, my first bet for week one, we'll go straight to the opening matchup between the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. And I realized that in doing this and taking this over at 51.5, I'm probably going to regret it in 3 months. But I think this number goes up as we start to see Dak Prescott play at a level that is like, oh, this guy's just healthy. And what we've seen early on in OTAs is that Dak is just on the field and he's just ready to play. Now, the Buccaneers defense was very good, particularly down the stretch. They bring back everybody. There's no reason to think there won't be plenty of continuity there. But this Cowboys offense should be awesome. And they should be at full strength in week one. I don't think they'll come out and try to pound the ball against the Bucs. That's not how you beat Tampa Bay. If you try to run the ball with Zeke Elliott a billion times, you'll get killed there. If you throw the ball and set up the run, which is what the Cowboys can do with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper and Dak as the trigger man and Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard being able to catch balls, then I think this can turn into a shootout. And there's no way that Dallas, with a bunch of inexperienced rookies, are going to slow down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. It's week one. Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, they're not going to come out and try and score with Rojo and Leonard Fournette. They're going to want to light it up and show people that they are here to put a stamp on the season. 51.5 is high, but I like the over.
It is a little high. I do see the anatomy of a shootout here. So I would do agree, but I don't know if it's going to get much higher. So I don't know if there's a ton of value, but yeah, once, if we're talking in September, on September 1st, about what our week one plays are, and it's 51.5 still, I would probably like it at that point. So I don't mind taking it here if you want to take it.
I think the only reason, I don't think the sports, but like William Hill's not going to want to push it up to 54 or, you know, whatever it is, and then have everyone hammer the under. Yeah, that would be the reason you maybe see it be a little stagnant. But if Dak looks awesome in the offseason and preseason and he looks completely healthy, I think the number will climb 1.5, 2 points, something like that. So I would rather take the over right now. What's your next pick?
So I'll go on all the way to the other side of the slate and the Monday night game. Baltimore minus four.
Work for it.
Baltimore minus four at Vegas. I have, like I said, I have Baltimore as one of the two or three best teams in the league. I think they're going to be a bit more versatile on offense this year. But, and even if they're run focused here, I'm not sure Vegas slows them down with that defense. So I expect them to win in the trenches handily on both sides of the ball in this matchup. I think later in the season, this line would look like Ravens minus six or minus seven if I'm right on how good they are. So to get them at four here, I think is a great value because I think they win this game pretty easily.
Yeah. That was one I looked at and I didn't take mainly because you had it. I'm with you there. This is a Raiders defense that doesn't play defense. They can't stop the run. And you're inherently, just because of the shortened offseason and since the new CBA, you know, not that we always see defenses, offenses ahead of defenses, but, you know, that's just how it works. Offense, you're defensive. And the Ravens are going to come out with some funky stuff. They're going to have their offense clicking because you can, it's not as air dependent. It's not as, you know, I mean, you do need to practice it. You do need the reps and all that, but you're asking Lamar Jackson to be the trigger man and what to probably be some option plays. And I don't think the Raiders will be remotely prepared to defend it. And the Ravens have been very good in prime time. So I agree with you. I think that Baltimore stomps them. It's a little surprising. It's four. I don't really, I get it's an away game. They'll have a DJ there and all that, but man, what's the implication is the Ravens are minus 10 at home. If this game's on Monday night in Baltimore, I'm still betting Baltimore there.
And also Baltimore's very good in week one last year, 38-6 win over Cleveland. The year before that, 59-10 win in Miami. Year before that, 47-3 beat Buffalo. So, I mean, this is just, they can come out in week one and dominate teams. And Vegas seems like the type of team that isn't going to be competing for, you know, a huge, you know, playoff spot at this point. So I don't see why Baltimore can't come out and do that to them too. There really is the expectation of this could be like a blowout win, not just a, you know, you squeak by with a 6 or 7 point win.
You know what this reminds me of is the Raiders Rams matchup a few years ago. So I don't know if it was maybe McVay's second year. Gruden's first year, and I lost my face on the Raiders because I was convinced Gruden was going to keep it close, you know, here in the black hole. No, they got blown out, and there's a decent chance that the Ravens blow them out here as well, so I would agree with that. Let's go back to the 1 p.m. slate, where I will be dabbling all the way at the top, right below the Buccaneers and the Cowboys game. It's apparently early on the slate. I will be Debo and I have different setups. I'm looking for the Jets-Panthers matchup. I am going, does this thing know I'm in Carolina? Am I being targeted by William Hill? This is the second item on there. Very clever. Give me the Panthers. Should the Panthers blow out anybody? No. Will the Panthers do the? Are the Panthers heavily invested in making Sam Darnold look awesome against his old team, therefore justifying their trade for him and pumping up the general PR around him? Yes, they are. Can they do it? Absolutely. The Jets defense is good, but it's not great. Quinnen Williams, questionable for, you know, leading into the season already. He's a big factor for that defense. They have a bunch of new pieces and they don't have any cornerbacks. Maybe they sign Richard Sherman. That would be problematic, I suppose, for this bet, but Richard Sherman ain't moving the line. I think Carolina lights up the Jets at home. I think Sam Darnold looks fantastic, and I will take the Panthers minus four.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good reasons to fade the Jets. New coach in his first week, new quarterback, rookie quarterback. I don't know if he's ready to you know, be a factor on the NFL level. The thing is, I just couldn't get behind laying 4 points with a team that wasn't great last year in Carolina. You know, I do like the continuity on the coaching staff. They have a new quarterback in place, but he hasn't proven that he's good. So, you know, I think this might tighten up a little bit as the excitement builds for the Jets. And Zach Wilson looks great in the preseason and this. And you can get down to three and maybe take Carolina there. I don't think there's any rush to play Carolina at four because I don't see why it would go up.
That is a very good point. I like the Panthers, but this is not shooting to six or seven. So if you like the Panthers, probably wait on that. That was more me saying I really like Carolina in week one than I think this number you have to play right now. It's, yeah, spirit of the podcast and whatnot. Don't go hammering the Panthers quite yet. RJ makes a great point. Probably comes back down to three. What else you got?
I like Washington plus one against the Chargers. I always love, like I said, fading new coaches in week one. And Chargers are technically road favorites here. I know it's basically a pick 'em, but, you know, Chargers are barely road favorites. They're going cross country. I think that Washington defense makes things tough for Herbert here. And Fitzpatrick is a good enough quarterback to score enough, even against a good Chargers defense, to get the win for Washington in week one. So, yeah, I would play Washington here at plus one. You know, I think they should be the favorites. And I think by the time we get to kickoff, they are going to be the favorites in this game.
That I don't disagree. There's a lot to like about Los Angeles this year, but it is a first-year head coach, first game on the sidelines. I think we sort of, and your point about fading first-year head coaches, when is your first time being a head coach? You know, you can do all the preseason stuff, all the practices you want. I mean, you got butterflies. I don't care who you are. You have to have butterflies going out there, and you have so much going on in the hectic nature of a regular season NFL game. And you've been there a billion times because you're a coordinator, whatever it is, you know, a quality control coach. You've seen it all, but you're not the guy orchestrating it all until week one. And that's asking a lot, especially against a veteran coach like Ron Rivera, who, whatever you may think about him in terms of his ceiling versus his floor, he has won a lot of games. He has, or, you know, creates great defenses, and Justin Herbert's awesome, but the expectations will be high. I agree with you. I like Washington as a home dog there, a dog I like, a road dog, but a guy that, as RJ has pointed out many times, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, love those East Coast games, and I'm catching 2.5 points. Would like it to be three if we're fading Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts. It looks like with that juice that it will probably get there. Clearly, you prefer 3 to 2.5. I think Seattle just wins the game. I know that Frank Reich's an experienced coach, but this is a new quarterback with a weight of expectations. And there are questions on the offensive line. We don't know if Eric Fisher is going to be ready to start the season. There are certainly very nice pieces on defense, but I don't think this is an elite defense. I think Russell Wilson can put up points. Look at the total, 52. They're expecting points. And I'm just going to take Russ and Pete Carroll in week one with everybody doubting them and maybe a little too much value being placed on Carson Wentz's addition this offseason.
Yeah, I kind of like the other side. I just think the Colts are a much more complete team than Seattle. And being at home, not having to lay the full three, I would play Indy here on this. I think the better play is probably the under. Seattle wants to be more ball control, run the ball, it seems like, with what they've done this offseason. 52.5 with how good Indy has been on defense, kind of Seattle, what they want to do on offense. It just seems 52.5 is way too much. I don't think Indy's going to light up the scoreboard in Carson Wentz's first game, although, you know, that possibility is there. I don't love the Seattle defense outside of a few key guys. So, you know, maybe it's a lower scoring game. I think Indy probably pulls it out in the end, though.
Okay. I guess I'll give one since you've got Indy as one of your best bets. I missed that when I took Seattle. I'm going to do something stupid and take a money line parlay. So, Debo, go ahead and click on the San Francisco 49ers, if you will, sir. And at -7.5, they're -410. And then you can click on them again. We'll build the parlay in the thing and make sure I'm right. And then go check out the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, that's right. First-year head coach in Urban Meyer, first-year rookie quarterback plus 107. So I'm getting plus money for this parlay. I have no concerns whatsoever about the 49ers taking care of business in Detroit, whether it's Trey Lance or whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo. They're just a lot better than Detroit. Weird things happened in week one. I'm sure I'll regret that when Dan Campbell is nibbling on Kyle Shanahan's ankles. But I also think that the Jaguars are a little bit undervalued here at -150 on the money line. And then I'd rather take -150 on the money line than -125 at 2.5. Jacksonville's just got a way better roster. Now, this blows up in my face big time if Deshaun Watson comes back, because then I'm terrified. I just don't think he's going to be there week one. And the Texans ain't got nothing, man. They ain't got nothing. The Jaguars, at least, Urban Meyer should be prepared for week one. He should come out with some creative stuff. Travis Etienne, no doubt, catching a bunch of passes. I like the Jaguars to win on the road. It seems insane. I'm sure you have a different opinion of this, but I like the Jaguars. And I was trying to get a piece of the 49ers without laying 7.5 on the road. And so I went crazy and parlayed them with the Jags.
I hate this parlay so much. I think there's no value on San Francisco that high. You know, 7.5 point road favorites. I mean, they're a good team. They're obviously better than Detroit. We think Detroit's probably the worst team in the league, unless Houston, you know, unless Deshaun doesn't play. But yeah, I just don't see any value in throwing this money line into a parlay because it's week one. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe Detroit's good. Maybe the offense figures something out and they hang with them. And we've seen Detroit be feisty early in the season before, even with when they're overmatched. So I wouldn't play San Francisco there. And then I actually like the other side of the Houston-Jacksonville game, but I want to wait till it gets to three because it looks like it's leaning that way with the minus 125. There's going to be a lot of excitement for Jacksonville with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. But once you get to three, I mean, what if Deshaun Watson does play? You know, I think they're might be the favorites there against a Jacksonville team that hasn't proven anything, you know, and lost a ton of games last year. And I don't know that Urban Meyer is a good coach. I don't know that Trevor Lawrence is going to come in and be great immediately. So even if it has to be Tyrod Taylor under center with Houston, and I'm catching three here against Jacksonville, you know, maybe, you know, at home, you know, I'm not going to trust Lawrence and Meyer to go on the road and be dominant right away. So I think if you get it to three, you're getting good value on the Houston side, and I would play them.
You know, sometimes people think I do stupid stuff randomly. Sometimes I do stupid stuff to, you know, you got to overproduce it a little bit. You know, it's off-season podcast. I got to get something up there to elicit a hot take from RJ, and that certainly did it with that god-awful parlay that I put together. I wasn't, like, planning to do that, but I put the parlay together. I was like, oh, yeah, RJ's going to hate this parlay. What else you got?
Yeah, so don't
bet that parlay until we know what's happening with Deshaun Watson, by the way.
Yeah, and if he does get ruled out, I'm sure it's going to go up. And if he gets ruled out and it goes up and Jacksonville all of a sudden 5-point favorites, 6-point favorites, I love the Houston side because Tyrod Taylor is, if he's the quarterback and not Davis Mills, he actually has some experience. I trust him a little more than Trevor Lawrence in week one because we just don't know what we're going to see from that Jacksonville offense. So, and I don't trust that Jacksonville defense to make huge strides right away. So I would take the value there with the home team. But I like Philly plus 3.5 at Atlanta. Both of these are new coaches, so it's one of them is going to have to win, essentially. I have more confidence in the Philly rebound after having all offseason to get healthy. Hurts getting all offseason to prep as a QB1, like I said earlier. That Philly defense has talent to be good, so and I'm not sure the Atlanta offense blows up here if that Philly defense comes together. And that Atlanta defense is just going to give up points a bunch to everyone. I don't have any confidence in them whatsoever. So I think Philly, even if they're down in this game, they can tighten it up and lose by two or three points or 1 point. But I think Philly's the better team. I think catching 3.5 is really good for us. I think it should be on the other side of three once people kind of wise up on the team strengths here.
Okay, fair enough. I'm gonna do one that's a prospective play here. The Green Bay Packers are currently plus 130 on the money line because I don't know if you've heard, RJ. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the team. They're in New Orleans. You probably hate this stat too, but they're in New Orleans against either Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, and we don't know which one. I would posit that if Aaron Rodgers is in for this game, that the Green Bay Packers are favorites. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, I think without knowing what New Orleans does, but you know, New Orleans is such a good defense also that it's hard to make them home dogs to anyone. Sure. So Green Bay is going to be popular one if Rodgers stays. So I could see that. I think the play in this game is the under. I think going at over 50.5, it's the total at this point, kind of assumes the Saints offense is going to be good no matter who quarterback is, assumes that Rodgers is going to be quarterback. If you get Jordan Love versus Taysom Hill, you know, that total might be what, 40.5, 41.5. I think there's some legit, you know, value opportunities there, depending on what happens over the rest of the offseason to play that under.
And that under is not going to drop by 10 points overnight. You're right. That's a really good call. If it's Taysom, even if it's Taysom Hill against Aaron Rodgers, I mean, they don't chunk the ball around with Taysom Hill in there. They're going to be methodical, right?
And the Saints have a good defense, and especially if they're rolling out an offense with Taysom Hill, they're going to want to win some lower scoring games and play it close to the vest, be a little bit conservative, not take, I think, too many chances, you know, and have Taysom throw a 4-interception game in his first start or that kind of thing. So I think you'll see an efficient offense and the defense rising up like they've done for much of the past couple of years.
That's a good call. I like that play. All right, what else do you have against the spread here?
Since he's plus three against Minnesota at home, I think it's going to get to 3.5. It looks like, you know, the juice is on the Minnesota side. So I like Cincy in that one. You know, like I said, Burrow coming back could have a big year. Minnesota seems like they had been trending down. You know, we don't know what that the weakness of the Cincy offense is, the offensive line. Obviously, we don't know if we can stay healthy again through 17 games because they didn't do enough on the offensive line. Well, Minnesota has been losing pass rushers left and right, you know, last couple of years, and Danielle Hunter could get traded. He's been made waves about wanting to be off of the team. So if they don't have him, they're reliant on, you know, the guys they have left. I don't know if they're getting after Burrow much. So I think that him and those pass catchers could take advantage of that Minnesota secondary. They didn't play that well last year, even though, you know, they got better with Patrick Peterson this offseason. And they can make it a bit closer game than we expect. And I like Cincinnati to be value at plus 3.5. Get the 3.5 because I think it's a 3-point game.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati there too. They've improved. Burrow, we think, will be healthy, you know, unless he's just limping around OTAs or whatever. You know, I like that as well. And Mike Zimmer, typically a little bit of a revenge game here, but typically a better home coach in terms of against the spread than on the road. You mentioned you also have – oh, all right, so you have the plays that you hadn't mentioned here, Houston plus – well, you wrote them down, but you've mentioned them, but you haven't, like, specifically said them. Houston plus 2.5, you want to play it at 3, and Indy minus 2.5. You and I are head-to-head on that one. We each have one more play left. I'll go first. Chicago and the Rams. I know it's Matthew Stafford, and it's a big upgrade over Jared Goff, but I've seen this movie. This game doesn't go over 45 points. Not with Andy Dalton out there. Not with that Rams defense. This is a low-scoring game. 45 points is not many. And I'm a little scared of it, like 46 maybe, but I think it closes like 43. So I will take the under 45 here on a Sunday night football game that is juiced up a little bit because of the addition of Matthew Stafford and maybe because Justin Fields gets drafted.
And I think even if Stafford does play well, you know, in this game, you could still hit the under because there's no guarantee against that defense. The Bears are going to go on the road and score more than 14 points in this game. So you get 30 to, you know, 14 and still come in under. So, yeah, I kind of like that play. 45, I don't see it moving much around that. So I don't know that there's much need to rush out and bet it now. Yeah. So we'll see what happens over the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. This is not one that you have to get now because – you don't really see a lot of NFL unders, and especially in week one, get down to 43 or lower. But I don't think it'll go up either, you know, unless Khalil Mack gets hurt or Aaron Donald gets hurt or something like that. These are two good defenses that are going to, you know, make life tough. And it would be kind of surprising if Matthew Stafford came out and was just on the same page with Sean McVay completely and ready to light things up. But we've seen the Rams certainly put up points quickly. All right. What's your last pick here?
Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee minus 2.5 against Arizona. I think we expect them to take a step back. They've lost some pass catchers. People don't believe in them as much this year, but they've overperformed expectations the last few years. They have a great coaching staff. They've shown that they can outcoach other teams. And I think that they're going to have a decided advantage against the Arizona coaching staff in this game because I think they might be a little bit less than the sum of their parts from what we've seen the last couple of years there. So I think Tennessee is a good play. I don't know that they're going to slow down Derrick Henry much with that defense. And the Tennessee defense can do enough to keep Kyler Murray in front of them, win a little bit lower scoring game here, but win it by like 6 or 7 instead of, you know, a 20-19 type of thing. So I think Tennessee's a little bit good value here. I think it probably gets to 3.
Yeah, and this is one of those where we'll see how this all plays out. But I was you get asked a bunch about the Julio Jones situation and how it'll affect markets, and we talked about this on various podcasts doing the divisional stuff. If Julio Jones goes to the Titans, and that's a possible landing spot, been rumored there, they desperately need another wide receiver besides, you know, Josh Reynolds is their number two. If they get Julio Jones, I'm not saying the line's going to go to 7, but it's definitely – Julio Jones will push it over to 3 because people will be going to bet the Titans, and books will just adjust it to the point where it's 3.5 or 4 or something like that. And I mean, don't you agree with that while also acknowledging that Julio Jones is not worth 2 or 3 points of the line?
Yeah, he shouldn't move the line that much, but he will. You know, I think people won't stop betting until it gets to 4, but I think it should be 4 anyway. So if they get him in it, then in my eyes, the value bumps to 4.5. I still think you're getting decent value, especially if you're playing a 2.5.
Yeah, so now would be the time to bet the Titans, especially if you think that Julio Jones might go there. And the same applies to the Titans to win the division. Or, you know, their odds are they're going to flip with the Colts if they get Julio. And it might not happen, but they'll be minus money once that hypothetical deal goes down. All right, that's probably 12 or 13 bets, because I got maybe 14 total bets. I don't know how many we had exactly the same, but that's a lot of bets for week one and MVP picks. Incredible. RJ White, anything else you want to promote, shill about? Anything else you want to throw out there?
Go to Sportsline. I know it's a down year for a lot of people, especially football fans, but we got great content. We talk horses, the fights, you know, combat sports you talked about earlier. I mean, we've got stuff on Mayweather, Paul, and all the MMA every week. Soccer, we've had a ton of soccer content. We're going to keep going with international soccer. It's on there. Baseball, we have parlays that have been doing well based on the model. Most days where there's a lot of night actions, you can go find some pretty good parlays to play on MLB. And, of course, we're hitting NBA playoffs every game, you know, with picks. Extra picks are doing well there, and we have posts on the site as well. So a lot of good stuff coming their way. We're also rolling out a ton of fantasy football content starting in the last few weeks at Sportsline and going all the way through the start of the NFL season. So get prepped for fantasy football as well as getting your betting advice all place at Sportsline.
Yeah, and I would say that Mike McClure and Justin Perry?
Perry's been, yeah, on the MLB.
Yeah, Justin Perry and Mike McClure have been doing really well in the MLB. And you can, if you, you know, a little secret here, if you want some free picks, you don't, you know, I mean, I'm not saying don't sign up for Sportsline, but you can go listen to the Early Edge podcast with Coach Larry Hartstein, Mike McClure, a rotating ensemble of people, Sportsline Pod, and they give out picks every morning. And I mean, I tell Mike McClure every day.
They move lines, you know, especially McClure giving out picks on his Discord sometimes, you know, moves a line within 30 minutes. So yeah, you want to get in, get the edge before the line moves, get the good value, because it's all about closing line value. If you get in the value on the closing number, you're going to win more often than not.
Yeah, especially in baseball where you want that positive, you know, you're taking – you might come out of a baseball season with a losing record and you're up units because you're taking underdogs at a value. But if you want a dog at plus 110 and then it moves to minus 105, and that's a huge difference. So I don't know what. Anyway, we're getting into the weeds on baseball gambling here. But the point is, go to sportsline.com/join, use promo code WHITE. It's your first month either free or for a dollar. It'll be dirt cheap and you'll be rolling in cash by the time that August comes around. RJ, thanks, buddy, as always.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.